Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. It is the 2nd of January, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. Thanks for joining us. The HAT Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them at ffbt.com and learn more or stop by your local branch. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller here today too with the news, including another possible strike that could impact Indiana beef and pork producers. And we take a look at what new Ag Committee leaders in Washington will mean this year. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for cold weather, a couple of days of clouds and sun mixed together today and tomorrow. And a look back at 2024, the year in the markets, with Carl Setzer, coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Bracing for another potential strike on the ports and some new and old Ag Committee leaders. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The ag industry is bracing for another potential strike among workers at the East and Gulf Coast ports. CJ Miller reports how that could have a major impact on Indiana's pork and beef producers.
For every week of a potential shutdown, it would be a loss in excess of $100 million just on beef and pork exports.
And that's Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Back in October, the union, which represents the workers at ports along the East and Gulf Coasts, went on strike for 3 days. The U.S. Maritime Alliance reached a tentative agreement with the union, which temporarily extended their labor agreement, but that contract extension is set to expire January 15th. Hallstrom says another work stoppage could have significant impacts on meat exports if another agreement isn't reached by that January 15th deadline.
On the pork side, 45% of our waterborne exports go off the East or Gulf Coast. And on the beef side, 30% of our waterborne exports originate from either the Gulf or the East Coast ports.
He says the impasse is already impacting the ag industry.
We already have exporters, I'm sure, diverting cargo or planning to divert cargo. Ocean carriers are anticipating that. So we already have surcharges in place between now and the 15th of January. And a lot of our cargo is refrigerated. So there's also the very real possibility that prior to January 15th, a lot of these ports may stop accepting refrigerated cargo just because of the uncertainty around the contract.
Hallstrom adds that a possible strike would hurt the United States and our reputation as a reliable supplier of pork and beef to the rest of the world. I'm CJ Miller.
New leaders on the Congressional Ag Committees and in the White House mean new opportunities for advocacy. Sam Kiefer, Vice President of Public Policy for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the four leaders of the committees have a wealth of experience.
The House Ag Committee Chairman is Glenn G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. He's well-established. New ranking committee member Angie Craig from Minnesota. New, but not inexperienced. On the Senate side, John Bozeman from Arkansas takes over as the committee chairman. He's been serving as the leading Republican for a while. And joining him from the other side of the aisle is Senator Amy Klobuchar from the Democrats. Again, new to her post, not new to Congress, not new to the Ag Committee.
Once the new Congress is sworn in on January 3rd, Kiefer knows what farmers believe should be priority numero uno.
They need to get back to the business of doing a farm bill. We've been kicking the can down the road for the better part of 2 years. Congress also has to deal with expiring tax provisions before the end of 2025. Not to mention there's a number of regulatory oversight opportunities for members of Congress. They also need to figure out the budget, and the current budget only goes until March.
About 2 miles down the road from the U.S. Capitol on Pennsylvania Avenue, President Donald Trump will be taking up residence again on January 20th.
We've been working with the Trump transition since Election Day, and frankly, we've been working with the Trump campaign prior to the election, letting letting them know where farmers and ranchers are on policy issues and what their wants and needs might be. As we look to the new Congress, we've been hitting the ground for the last several months, getting ready to focus on the tax issues, continue the conversation on Farm Bill, and make sure that the regulatory oversight opportunities get some attention paid to them.
Kiefer encourages farmers to start reaching out to those legislators as soon as possible about those priorities. For updates on these issues and more, keep an eye on FB.org throughout 2025. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit Mid-America is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Relatively boring here in the short-term part of the forecast. We are cold. Yep. It's going to be that way for a little bit. January shaping up to start off 2025 on a very chilly note. Temperatures for today, tomorrow, and into the weekend near or slightly below normal a little bit. I don't think we have much precipitation here. Clouds and sunshine for today and tomorrow. Sunshine, I'm going to call it a bonus if you see it widespread. There is a weak disturbance coming through Iowa later today and Illinois tonight. The remains of that may throw a little bit of flurry action into central Indiana over the early part of tomorrow morning to midday, but I don't think it's much. Clouds more than anything else, and Saturday should feature clouds and sunshine. We are still watching a significant Central Plains weather system dig in and eject out to the east for the second half of the weekend. At this point, I feel more confidence in talking about a southern track of this low. And southern, what I mean by that is I think the low moves through mostly the Ohio Valley, just south of the Ohio River, moving to the east and northeast. That track would put some potentially significant snows into Indiana, but it's not going to be for everyone. I'm leaning toward a forecast solution that says probably I-70 southward where the biggest of snows can fall, but I won't rule out snowflakes anywhere in the state. I do think most of the rain stays south into Kentucky or is right there near the Ohio River. We will dive into this track a little bit more for tomorrow's update, and we will give you snow totals as we go into the weekend, what we're feeling and what we're looking at in terms of data points at that point in time. I am still, though, zeroing in on this and watching the track. I do feel confident that it's not going to be a northern track that allows more rain into the state. I do think there's snow that we will have to deal with and accumulating snow at that. Now, moving forward, as we've said all along, whether it was rain, snow, nothing, both, this was going to draw down another round of very cold Arctic air. It is coming. Behind it, we are very chilly from Monday afternoon into Tuesday. Lake effect is going to be a story that we have to talk about, I think, through the first half of next week. This weather system is done by probably Monday mid-morning, but the lake effect can crop up through Tuesday and Wednesday. Most of it's a Michigan event, but northern tier counties of Indiana as well, probably down to State Road 14, have to watch for some lake effect through midweek. We've got a little clipper system that drags clouds and a few flurries in for late next week, Thursday into Friday. But generally speaking, we're not seeing another strong frontal passage or low pressure passage until likely well into the week of the 13th. We're just cold, and that can kick off snow and flurries pretty much at will. A lot of clouds to deal with from now through the 15th as well. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Well, we've survived another year, another growing season, another election cycle, and plenty of market volatility. All of us at Hoosier Ag Today are proud that we've been able to keep you informed of the latest farm news, markets, and weather developments in 2024, and honored that once again you have made us the most listened to farm network in the state. On air and online, and ready for 2025, we are Hoosier Ag Today.
This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. Happy New Year on Wednesday, the 1st of 2005. No markets closed, of course. for the New Year's holiday. So we take the time to reflect on the past year and the coming 2025 trading year as well. For that, I checked in on New Year's Eve with Carl Setzer of Consus Ag Consulting. Carl, we ended 2024 with double-digit gains in the soybean market, really a nice move in corn futures as well. So the year ends on a bit of a high note, but can you really call it a positive year overall when we saw that bull run kind of come to an end and some real struggles in the markets through the course of the year?
Yeah, 2024 is going to go down as definitely a year that had its ups and downs. We had big gains in the market, but what we had was high volatility. We had gains, but they weren't very long lasting. And then we would spike lower, and that wouldn't be long lasting either. The volatility really picked up through 2024. It actually subsided a little bit as we got through the first part of the holiday season, the Thanksgiving season. And then in the year end, we saw the big volatility come back in with heavy fund positioning and funds really adding to their corn complex throughout December, taking it to over 200,000 contracts to the long side. Then all of a sudden we get to the end of the month and the funds played catch up in the soy complex. And that's what gave us our big gains going into the New Year's break.
As I looked at the board on Tuesday, it felt rather fortunate that we had ended the year well over the 450 mark on the March corn and real close to $10 on Jan beans, over $10 on March and May and July, et cetera. It looked at one point in time as though we wouldn't be near those levels.
Yeah, we saw ourselves come back, and what we've really seen in the market here, and what I think is a good sign going forward, is that our market gradually came back to these levels, and it really didn't slow down our demand at all, even with a tad bit of strength in the U.S. dollar. Now, we will see demand slow a little bit as we move into 2025, but it seasonally does. That's not going to come as a shock. The thing is, we are well ahead of where we typically are for sales and for domestic demand, and that's starting to edge our market higher. I'm not saying we won't see corrections, but the market is definitely telling us that it is comfortable at today's levels, which is a good sign moving forward.
Talk about South American weather, specifically Argentina. It is getting hotter and drier. Forecasts remain hot and dry. That is having an impact, including on U.S. futures to some degree.
It definitely is, and I think this is going to be a big factor when we come back after the New Year's break here and get back into the markets and settle down. The thing is, we've seen Argentina, we have some scattered rains over the next few weeks. But in the rearview mirror, Argentina has been dry. This is going into the sixth week without major rainfall. And now temperatures are starting to warm as well. That carries over into Paraguay, who is another big producer in South America. But what we saw on Tuesday was all of a sudden Rio Grande do Sul said, hey, we're turning dry as well. The number one corn producing state in Brazil, they're starting to show a little bit of stress. And we had a market that was expecting huge crops out of South America, brought in a little bit of risk buying. The one to really watch moving forward, I think, when it comes to South American weather, Andy, is that we have heavy rains in some parts of Brazil upholding harvest. That is delaying the planting of the safrinha crop. 10 to 15 day delays already reported on safrinha planting, and there is a very rigid window that you can plant safrinha corn in because we have to take that break for production for soil conservation purposes in Brazil. This could be a game changer on acreage as we move forward.
Carl Setzer at Consus Ag Consulting. His number is 989-506-1587. Happy New Year from the folks at Consus and all of us as well here at Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.